You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to ADHD BCE. Today's episode is very close to my heart. Normally, on this podcast, apart from the last two episodes, actually, but normally on this podcast, we step back into history, ancient civilizations, innovations, past lives, neurodivergent ways of thinking across time. But today, I want us to look inward at a history written inside our very bodies. Recently, I've been working with an ADHD coach, Sasha Harper, who specializes in nervous system regulation. And through her guidance, I've learned something that's changed my life, that I can now communicate within my own nervous system, that I can feel calm, that I can feel self-love without crushing myself with pressure. So in this episode, I'll share with you how the nervous system evolved, as I've learned with my sessions with Sasha, and how it actually makes decisions before we're even aware, and how we as neurodivergent people can learn to guide it. I'll also invite you to join me in a few simple practices: breathing, grounding, gentle movements, so you can feel it for yourself. So let's dive into to what our nervous system is and why it's such a pain in the backside. So basically, I mean, our nervous system is ancient. It didn't just appear one day. It was built layer by layer over hundreds of millions of years. And every one of those layers is still inside us and crucially still active. I think to begin with, around 500 million years ago, in early sea creatures, we get the dorsal vagal system. This is the part of it, it's the freeze and shutdown response. When escape isn't possible, the body conserves energy by going still. Just imagine a reptile playing dead, essentially. And then later, around 100 million years later, around 400 million years ago, fish and amphibians came with the sympathetic system, the fight or flight branch. We feel this as the heart racing, muscles tense, adrenaline floods the body. It's the engine of survival. Then about 200 million years ago, as mammals appeared, something new developed, the ventral vagal system, which is part of the parasympathetic branch. This one is about safety and connection and calm. It lets mammals rest, play, nurture their young, and form bonds. And then much more recently, in the last few million years, humans developed a big prefrontal cortex, the reflective part of the brain. I'd refer to Sasha, or Sasha, we talk about it as being the awareness. And this is where we plan, reason, and gain perspective. But here's the catch. The older systems receive information and act before the prefrontal cortex does. So the signals come in, eyes, ears, nose, you know, you detect some external thing, and then the nervous system within us decides if we're safe or under threat, and only afterwards do we become aware of this. That's why sometimes we find ourselves panicking or shutting down before we've had a chance to think. Our awareness is always running a little behind. And for us as neurodivergent people, with brains wired to notice more, to react faster and feel deeply, this can make life like one constant storm. And yeah, I think it's important to remember as well that these parts of us that are still active and still make decisions before we become aware of that. Our ancestors, and we're not just talking archaeology here, we're talking paleontology, we're going back millions, hundreds of millions of years. You think about the threats that our ancestors were under constantly. I mean, I use the analogy of Jumanji in prehistory, and you know, if we could go further back, I think it becomes more Jumanji-like. And that's when our ancestors survived and procreated and passed on their knowledge and experience and information to DNA, and we evolved to suit that environment. And that's really important to remember, because that's where we get panic about things that don't really matter, you know, emails and being late and so on. But anyway, let's pause here, because what I've been learning with Sasha is communication, and communication is key in all aspects of life, but it's essential internally. It's so important that we learn to communicate with ourselves, because our brain, our prefrontal cortex, is constantly trying to catch up with what's going on in the body. And it's really crucial to understand this bit, the communication between the prefrontal cortex, or the awareness, and the rest of our nervous system isn't a two-way street. We can't communicate. Our conscious prefrontal cortex is trying to interpret what we're feeling. So that might resonate. I don't know. And the other thing to bear in mind is it doesn't have to be sort of linguistic. We don't have to communicate through words. We can also affect our nervous system from the prefrontal cortex. We can engage. And there's a few practices. I'll share one now. I mean, a simple one really is, I suppose it's grounding or something. If you can, if it's safe to do so, try this. Or remember this. If you can place your feet on the floor, and bear in mind that if you're wearing normal shoes, that's probably take them off. And then, if not, whatever. But just try and notice the contact between your feet and the floor, the weight, the texture, the steadiness beneath you, and take a slow breath in through the nose and breathe out longer than you breathe in. And do that two or three more times, inhale and exhale gently and slowly. This sends a message directly to those ancient layers that tell you I'm safe. They tell them they're safe, that I am safe. And another one is about communicating. Once I learned that my nervous system acts first, I realized that gave me a choice, you know. Not so much fight against it. We try and fight against it. I don't feel this. I don't like that person. I don't feel that way. What are you talking about? Yeah, you do. A part of you does anyway. And your nervous system's there ahead of you. And if they perceive danger, that sort of sixth sense, I don't like that person. Maybe your subconscious, your nervous system has picked up on some inauthenticity in their behavior. But yeah, so for fighting against our feelings is the natural mode, or what we're taught, or how ignorantly we splash around in that ancient pool. But we can also learn to speak its language. So when I feel numb, heavy, or checked out, that's dorsal. I know it is now. I know that my dorsal nervous system is telling me something's wrong. I feel jittery, urgent, pressured. That's the sympathetic nervous system, the fight or flight. And when I feel calm, open, able to listen, that's ventral. Okay, the prefrontal cortex, decided was called the grown-up, the adult in the room. And here's the beautiful part. Ventral isn't about never feeling bad emotions. It's about being like that parent with a child in a meltdown. I've got kids and they're neurodivergent, and there's bugger all you can do it from, that sort of old post-industrial Victorian shout at them, throw, lock them in a room thing. It doesn't work. It didn't work with me. It's not worked with millions of us. It doesn't work. So internally, if you do the same thing, you're screaming at yourself and ignoring yourself, those parts are going to feel the same way that a child would, because that's essentially what it is. You could refer to it as your inner child. So if you communicate with it in a meltdown situation, and you're calm and you're steady and you're listening, yes, the inner child might scream and cry and panic, but the parent part of you, the ventral part, stays grounded and offering safety until the storm passes, and that's how you regulate. And yeah, that's what ventral gives us, that ability to let the emotions be heard without being consumed by them. Okay, emotions aren't dangerous, they're frightening, because they're overwhelming, we're sensitive, we're alert, or in most cases, I would argue, dysregulated, certainly to a point. Yeah, so this is another little exercise to help communicate within your nervous system. So if you're able to sort of gently roll your shoulders, let some of that sort of tight sympathetic energy move. You can shake your arms, stamp your feet just lightly, and this movement tells your body, we've used the energy, it's safe, we can move, let's go. And that can help you come out of that stuck feeling. And then next, place your hand on your chest and feel your own warmth. It sounds daft, but you do that and whisper something kind to yourself. Like, I'm here, I've got you, and I love you. I understand, those sorts of things. And just hold yourself, be empathetic, be compassionate, as if it was a child you just found on a street. That part in there in you, that needs you. It needs you to be calm. It wants to be regulated. It wants to not feel like that anymore. So let's move on now to where the difference, not the difference, but how relevant it is to neurodivergent brains. So this matters because neurodivergent people often live in survival states. Our nervous system is quick to notice danger, even if it's a deadline or a loud noise or a look of disapproval. And once triggered, it's harder to climb back out and to feel calm. That's why we neurodivergent people tend to feel constant pressure, shame, overwhelm, guilt, all that lot. But when we learn to regulate, as I'm doing, and I can vouch for this, we break the loop. We stop trying to solve emotions with thoughts. Okay, we let the signals be heard, and then we return to ventral. Okay, so and then from this ventral position, we can use our prefrontal cortex, the reflective, creative part of us, and that's where we can plan, imagine, and connect. So it really is like the older parts of us, they don't have access to our thoughts, to our understanding of the world, not to the level, not on a conscious level. And yeah, for me, learning how to do this, how to regulate and how to communicate within my nervous system has meant experiencing calm for the first time and joy again for the first time. I can access that. I can be truly grateful for who I am and where I am and what I've got. My children and wife and friends and family, I can really appreciate them now because I'm regulating. And yeah, and it's not, the world hasn't changed, but I can finally be comfortable with myself. And as a neurodivergent person, I know that a few weeks or certainly a few months ago, I wouldn't have believed for a second that was possible. I wouldn't have understood what that was like. But trust me, it's enormous. It's amazing. So let's have one more little sort of guided practice. Now, I'm not doing a guided practice, am I? It's more, I'm just offering suggestions to help you communicate and feel safe and close that gap, open the communications between the older parts of you and the conscious part of you that's trying to figure everything out. One neat trick, you'll probably have heard of this one, but just look around where you are and let your eyes land on something pleasant, whether it's a door, a shape, a texture, and then just notice it just for a few seconds. That's all you got to do. Is it orienting or something like that? I can't remember what it's called, but essentially you're reminding your nervous system that there is a world around you and that it is safe and it's not threatening. Because often neurodivergent people's brains will run away and we will be in absolute mortal terror and we're just in the library next to everybody else and nothing else is going on. We've done it to ourselves and it's more complicated. That's a different kettle of fish there. That's a whole other story. But yeah, it's important that when you are feeling like that and you're in that kind of situation, you can help yourself out of it by just looking at things around you and describing them to yourself. And that tells your nervous system, again, I'm here, I'm safe, everything's okay. But yeah, I wanted to do a much bigger episode on this because I've learned so much. And unfortunately, I don't feel qualified or experienced enough to go further into nervous system regulation at the moment. But I think it's so worth it. I think I had mentioned it to Sasha that, if you could give nervous system regulation to everyone and we could all master our own nervous systems. We put such effort into, things like meditation and religious practices and exercise, everything we can do. But without that communication, it can be impossible. And neurodivergent people especially, the world's a big, scary place to us. I don't care. Obviously, there's plenty of neurodivergent people who have not had the same issues, but overall, predominantly, but not exclusively, we are dysregulated to a pretty severe level of self-hate, self-torture, hopelessness, suicidal ideation. Just really difficult to just be here. Not to move through the damn place, just to actually exist in a world that I just In fact, I'm going to stop myself there because I was just about to go into a world that doesn't suit us. Well, actually, the world's full of so many opportunities and potential scenarios that actually there's loads of places around and loads of careers or, you know, locations and people or whatever that where we can thrive. So I'm not going to say that the world's a terrible place for neurodivergent people. It's definitely the mainstream education system and workplace. Absolutely not. That's got a long way to go. But we are at a point now where we can just start to understand more than just the history of belief and ancient medical practices and meditation or whatever. We can actually scientifically see, measure, understand our own nervous system, our own DNA. You know, I mean, talk about the universe looking at itself, trying to understand itself. That's a beautiful way of putting it, in my opinion. I'm quite comfortable seeing it that way because we do sprout from planet Earth. We're part of it all, part of the fabric of the universe, made up from all these protons and atoms and all that. That's who we are. That's what we are. That's undeniable. And we've got to the point now where we can look at each other or look at ourselves and say, I know what I am. And I don't think any creature other deluded beliefs that they had or how they imagine the world to be. And then the same with us when we think, well, the world is flat or round or triangular or whatever. And then all of a sudden we've got instruments that can measure and we can figure it out and realize what it is. We're doing the same things with ourselves. And in the neurodivergent community, we do a lot of therapy, a lot of coaching, a lot of medication, a lot of stuff to try and just feel okay about ourselves. But it all comes down to a dysregulated nervous system. And a really severely dysregulated nervous system leads to all sorts of stupid behavior. And we can all attest to that. But where we are now, we can say, if we can regulate our nervous system, we've got nothing to worry about. We were born into the world we're born into. We inherit these genes. The environment does what it does. As children without a prefrontal cortex, I can't remember how old we are when we get a prefrontal cortex. It's like in your 20s or something. It's ridiculous. So if you haven't got a very calm, very peaceful environment where, or you don't have, I think more crucially that if you don't have a caregiver that learned to regulate their nervous system, and how many generations back do we have to go until, you know, before all the wars and the famines and the disasters, you know, I mean, all the way through evolution, we've faced traumas, terrifying prospects constantly. The chances of humans ever having fully regulated nervous systems in that environment constantly it's got to be impossible. Even, you know, we talk about the hunter-farmer theory and that neurodivergent people were safer before. Well, yeah, all right, we weren't made to sit in a classroom and stare at a board for 6 hours, 5 days a week. But we did face absolutely terrifying prospects, mortally terrifying prospects, constantly. So I think there's a good chance that humanity hasn't ever been in a position to have a regulated nervous system. How could we? Our nervous system couldn't communicate within itself. Our brains couldn't communicate, our prefrontal cortex couldn't understand what was going on in our nervous system. Maybe that's the difference between us and animals, why you see animals can be, appear to be in the right environments, much more at peace with who they are. They don't seem to suffer with existential crises or suicidal ideation. Obviously, you do actually see that kind of thing. So that's not a blanket statement. That's just, you know, generally speaking. Humans, we didn't have that ability. We had the extra thing. We had the bigger problem of the prefrontal cortex believing that's what it was, just this, the prefrontal cortex. Here I am. This is my awareness. This is who I am. And at least pesky feelings keep getting sent in by demons and witches and gods. And I don't know. We suffer so badly with trauma and intergenerational trauma that a dysregulated nervous system is probably one of the main reasons or the main reason why we have anything like violence or war and so on. And the opportunity we have now with nervous system regulation, which is available, and it's not getting coaching isn't available to everybody. I appreciate that. But we are at the point now where I think there's enough people getting into it that it's going to blow up at some point. And I hope it does. I hope somebody comes up with a way of communicating through analogy or story or something to say, this is how you do it, or, you know, I don't know, a nice diagram to say, this is how we do it. This is how you communicate within your nervous system. This is how you regulate your nervous system. And then that war ends. All these billions of internal wars could end, and we could go, all right, then now what do we want to do? Now we're not absolutely terrified of the neighbor. What do we do? It'd be a completely different world, but forget that. Infinite possibilities there. I could go on about this for ages, but like I said, I will bring nervous system regulation into the podcast more, because I believe in it so strongly. I've done therapy, I've done coaching, I've done medication, I go to the gym, I go outside working all the time, I do all the things. And yeah, it helped, and awareness helped, being aware of neurodiversity, of differences and trauma and all these things. It helped massively. It saved my life. But nervous system regulation opens the door. I have never felt such calm in my own body. Because when the emotions come up, when they pop up, they're not my enemy. I'm not afraid of them. And I know that they're going to last about 6 seconds, I think it is, a feeling lasts. And you sit with it, because you're the parent, not the emotion is the child. And you just hold that. You don't need to do anything. Keep you nice and calm. Look at what's around you if you need to. Breathe, ground, whatever it is. And you be that parent to that child, and it will calm down. And there is so much more to it. I really want to bring it to the podcast. I'm going to weave it in somehow. I'll think of a way. And I'm going to keep throwing it at you, because honestly, it's so different. It's so unbelievably different to medication, therapy and all that. It is so simple. It's just really tricky just to get your head around and to get into. But as you do it, maybe you need a coach. I certainly did. Somebody will figure out a way to get this out and communicate it to people so that we can all do it. And the world will be a better place for it. So, yeah, they're all my opinions anyway. So today we explored, if you think about it, we did a deep dive into the history of our nervous system. So if you remember this from the freeze part of us, the dorsal from about 500 million years ago, the fight or flight, sympathetic from 400 million years ago, that calm connection from 200 million years ago, in our reflective cortex, the prefrontal cortex, from just a few million years ago. Okay, they're all active within us, within all of us, and it's possible to open up communication between them. We've learned that the oldest parts of us make decisions before thought, which is why awareness lags behind. And I've shared a few practices and simple ways to try and send signals back to the nervous system from the prefrontal cortex to say, I'm okay, I'm safe, I'm all right, breathing, grounding, moving, orienting. But most of all, we've seen that ventral vagal isn't about perfection. It's about being the steady parent inside of ourselves. It's not your job as a prefrontal cortex to fix everything. It's to be calm. Hearing the emotions, guiding the body, and returning to calm every time. This, I believe, is a foundation for a better world. It is a game-changing... Oh, my goodness me, if the world embraced nervous system regulation, you will see a better world. So, thank you for listening, and thank you to my best mate in the whole world now, Sasha Harper, for showing me down this path of nervous system regulation. I can't wait to share more with you in the future. I intend to, I'm not sure how what form they'll take, but I'll come up with something, and I can't wait to share it with you, but don't worry, we're not deviating. This is ADHD BCE. This is a podcast about neurodiversity in our past. And how awesome neurodivergent people are. Okay, take care of yourselves and I'll see you soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.
The Archaeology Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Our executive producer is Ashley Airy. Our social media coordinator is Matilda Siebrecht. And our chief editor is Rachel Roden. The Archaeology Podcast Network was co-founded by Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle in 2014 and is part of Cultural Media and DigTech LLC.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.